Today is the 5th of February, the 20th of Shvat. We continue our study of the Sefer Olam Hamidas by Rabbi Moshe Dan Kestenbaum, whom I've had the schuss to speak to numerous times in the last few weeks by sheer coincidence. And he was very happy to hear that we were learning his Sefer.
No coincidence.
Oh, thank you. I stand corrected. When things coincide, there is ka inside, meaning yud and hey. Correct. I believe that fully, actually. It's an amazing thing. We ended up interacting over something else, chinuch related, not shir related. But he happens to be...
On the phone.
Yeah, we've spoken a few times. But it had nothing to do with the study of his Sefer, which is uncanny. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is winking at us. We're on page Lama Gimel in the Sefer Olam Midas. We're in the second paragraph learning about Emes. So the very bottom of page Lama Gimel. I tried to stall. I stalled them until you came. Here we go. Many times a person does one thing when he's in front of people, and he conducts himself differently when he's in private. Misnaheg means to conduct oneself. To firzach. Do a little Yiddish here. Yeah, meken redna bissel the mamaloshen. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Zem mare, this shows, das weist ois, shardayin lo igiel madrega shalishma. If a person, he's one way as a public person, he's a different one, he's in private, so then he's not doing lishma. He's obviously doing things for show, the mashal. Yeah, I remember, I believe Rabbi Kessler wrote this largely for yeshiva bachrim, so some of the examples may be tailor-made that way, but the basics of it, he really unpacks very important mussar for any of us, no matter what station in life we're at or what our lives are like. Yesh adam shemispal ba'arichus keshu beveis kinesis ha'makatzer ba'olu ha'makatzer ba'yod keshu mispal ba'yachidus. I have somebody who davens a long time when he's in shul, and when he's elsewhere, when he's at home, he davens very quickly. He's an expression from Chazal, but it means he davens quickly when he's by himself. Va'od, va'od, kohena, va'kohena. And etc., etc., and the like, and the like. Ain't suffix she'enam domim ma'aseinu v'diburenu k'shem b'fnei acher v'k'shem b'yachidus. And there's no doubt that our actions and our speech are not the same when they're in front of others than they are when we're alone. Even if it's not to an extreme, but at some level that's almost invariably the case. Ba'al yita ha'adam lomar. This is a beautiful point right here. First full paragraph on page Lama Dalet. Ba'al yita ha'adam lomar. Man should not make a mistake to think. Kaven sha'az ritzon liyos b'madrega zu shel tocho kabara. Since I have this very strong desire to be at this level of tocho kabara, that's the term we were talking about last time, the Chazal said you're supposed to be your inside like your outside. Tocho is inside, kibaro, bar, means the outside. Lachain, lo e'es shum davar she'enu kafi tochi. I won't do anything that isn't per my inside. If my inside doesn't look so nice, so now I'm working on myself, so if I will present more beautifully on the outside, that's inconsistent, that's not tocho kibaro, so I will not behave in a good way, because then it's a facade, and I don't want to be a facade. So I'm going to let all of the shortcomings that are really on the inside show on the outside, or I'm not going to do anything that's beyond what I'm really holding on the inside. So he's going to tell us it's backwards. This is a beautiful insight. Al yomar kein v'al yachshov kein. He shouldn't say that, he shouldn't think that. Shevadai hachitzonios choshuv ma'od, because certainly the outwards, the externals, are very important. If a person won't be careful about his externals, it's going to cause a worse problem on the inside. In other words, instead of achieving consistency, which he thinks is a musar accomplishment, what he's actually going to do is cause regression in his pnimios. Don't change the outside, change the inside. In other words, if I find that my outward behavior is ahead of my inward behavior, or my inward character, instead of lowering the outside, raise the inside. That's the order of how it's supposed to be done. Ukemosha shamati mimori v'rabi ha'rava gon rabbi chil perishlita. This is very nice that he quotes Yechiel Per is Rosh Hashiva Yeshiva Harakway. He's a great Talmud of Rav Aaron Cutler. People who want a true picture of what Rav Aaron Cutler was like from somebody who knew him well. Rav Yechiel Per is a great Talmud of his. It would be nice if the world heard more from him about what Rav Aaron was like. But anyway, so he quotes him, Shadiyuk v'divrei Chazal. He made a diyuk means where we read something very precisely. You don't just read it superficially. You're talking yeshivas about making a diyuk, which means you make a very precise reading and you draw something from that. She'amru shehe tocho shel adam kibaro. What Rav Per said apparently is read it carefully. What Chazal said is make sure your inside is like your outside. They didn't say, ultimately it means an equation, but they didn't say make your outside like your inside. They said make your inside like your outside. It's such a simple point, but you could go through a whole life and never notice it. Obviously what they're saying is the expectation is that one's external, one's presentation on the outside is going to be ahead of where the internal, where the panemius is. But the work of man is to catch up his panemius. It's not to retard his chitzonios or make them less. It's to catch up on the inside. Behind you, hello. She'olav lasos ha'pnimis shalo kemo she'rotza she'tirah chitzonios shalo. He should make his inside the way he wants his outside to look. V'lo amru she'he baro ketocho. They didn't say make your outside like your inside. Lasos ha'chitzonios shalo kemo ha'pnimis shalo. It's such a simple point, but so profound. The expectation is that we present on the outside better than we are on the inside, and the job is catch up the panemios.
How do you do that? How do you do that?
By doing this.
What's this?
The study of Musar. Thinking about it.
Your mother was the exemplar, par excellent. You saw your mother, you saw goodness, life, joy, every minute. You
but that, her outside was like her inside.
But right,
like,
but you know.
You don't always feel so happy.
You know, look, there, the shoulder hurt, let's just start there. But every time.
Yeah. Right, I think if we're focused on it, I think all of life, like most things in Musar, there's different madrigos. One probably will never achieve perfection on this. I think there are people who are very high in this consistency, and there are people who are very far from it. So if we have it in mind, if we keep in mind, gee, I'm doing this mitzvah nicely, but is my inside really caught up, and we focus on it, then we can get there. But his main point here, is, as he's quoting from Rav Per, is not to do it in the opposite order. V'lochein, therefore, v'mashal hanal, I'll give the example above somebody who davens a long time in public. Yamshich l'espal v'esakneset barichus v'kavon. You should continue to daven. By the way, the Bali Musa, you sometimes hear stories the other way, where they were so cautious about about a facade, that they actually like almost did to the other extreme. There were great Bali Musa who, some of it I think was really just hiding their greatness from people. But the Alter Slobodko was never seen learning. It's probably more a matter of being a nister, being a hidden person, but he literally hid the fact that he learned from people. In fact, the Bochrim used to stay up late learning, and one time they came by, it was like 2 in the morning, and they came by the house. This is recorded by Rav Dov Katz, who wrote probably the most authoritative work on the great Bali Musar with the documented stories and so on. So they came to the yeshiva, they came to the altar's house to borrow a sefer or something. So he ran up to his bedroom and got in bed, because he was up learning, but he wanted them to think, I'm just a mashgiach, I'm not a learned person. So he actually hid his greatness. But Bali Musa did work on this, but what we're being told, and I think it's an obvious point, is don't make the outside worse, make the inside better. So you should continue to daven in shulva, kavana, shari mitoch shalol lishma balishma. From doing that, especially if he's focused on it, it'll bring the inside to catch up. But the next time, and for whatever reason, he comes to daven biyachidus by himself, he should remember, how do I daven when I'm in front of other people? To make his inside like his outside. This is the counsel that's really wrapped up, that's hidden in the bracha that we read last time, or what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his Talmidim, a famous Gemara in Brachos, when he was on his deathbed, and he said, your fear of God should be like your fear of man. Which sounds like the ultimate anticlimactic disappointment of a bracha, but when you analyze it, it's the ultimate bracha. She yizkru b'chol shah. They should remember at all times, ketzad hayu noagim am hayu b'fnei b'nei adam. How would they conduct themselves if they were in front of people? V'kach yinhagu afil b'seisar. And that's how they should conduct themselves even in private. Sharei la'olam anu umdim l'fnei melech malchei amlochim ha'kadosh baruch hu. They're always standing in front of the King of Kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He illustrates the point with a little account here. Shamati, I heard, Shapam Achas Beradin. It once happened in Radin, the city of the Chavetz Chaim, Yerushal Chavetz Chaim. Nifter Tamar Chacham Achad. There's a Tamar Chacham who was Nifter. Velo Asu Hespeidim Ru'uyim Tamar Chacham Kamasu. And they didn't really give. What people thought was that they weren't giving proper eulogies for a person of his stature. And the yeshiva bacharim were tumbling about it. They were talking about it, complaining about it. Hagon Reb Naftali Trop Zatzal. So Naftali Trop was one of the great gaonim. He was both a great Rosh Yeshiva and a great Baal Musar.
Maybe they could meet
them. So, Kovatz Bachrim, he gathered the Bachrim, Va'amar Lahem. So he must have sensed what was going on. The Bachrim think they knew better. It was the leadership who gave a lukewarm eulogy for this person. And the Bachrim were talking about it's not right, there's something wrong here. So, and I imagine that the Hanhal of the yeshiva and the other gedolim didn't really want to talk about it too much, but once the boys were making a commotion, Kovatzis HaBachrim, he gathered the Bachrim for Amar Lahem, and he said to them, Shelo kol echad hanechshav legadol be'einenu hu be'emes gadol. Not everybody who people think is quote-unquote a gadol, a great person, is really so. I guess they must have known something that...
But isn't that Lashon Hara? Isn't that Lashon Hara?
I think they had to explain why it wasn't appropriate to do more than they had done. It doesn't sound like he elaborated, but he had to explain. It would be probably would be worse if they thought that the Gedolei Yisrael don't pay respect to somebody. So they had to explain a little bit. And Reb Naftali said, "Hikarti es Chavetz Chaim v'ra'isi oso b'chol ha'matzavim." I recognized the Chavetz Chaim, and I saw him in all situations. Bein b'farhesia, bein b'tzina, in public, in private. Olam lo reisi afstira achas b'hanagosav. I never saw any slight contradiction in his conduct. Zehu gadol amiti. That's a true gadol. Ad kan. In Europe, this was a bigger thing. There are tshuvos and accounts that really show us a lot of this. That I mean, there are tshuvas that discuss people who show up in a town and look like big ascetic people, prushim, fasting and self-affliction, and they found out they were really much worse. There are things that such people did that led to halachic issues. I'm recalling one tshuva particular from a couple hundred years ago. That's to an extreme, but there are people who really they presented one way and they really were not that way at all. But hopefully it shouldn't be relevant to that extreme, but every person has to work. The tohu should be kibaro. Ube'ezras Hashem niskelis alas b'avodas Hashem. With Hashem's help, we should be meritorious to elevate ourselves in His service. Ad shenin yeshleimim be'emes, until we'll be truly shalem. Miksha achas zohav tor. The menorah is described as one. It's one piece of gold. They beat it out. They didn't take different pieces, which is symbolic of absolute consistency. It's not that he is. There's this aspect of him and that aspect of him. It's all one piece of pure gold, and that's the way a person is supposed to try to be. Chassam Sofer used to point out that the beauty of the menorah all comes from within. You didn't attach anything to it. He said that symbolizes Torah. It doesn't need any embellishment. It all comes from the thing itself. Next, page Lamed Hei. Shalola Ramos Acherim Kidei Sheyechabduhu. Not to fool others so that they'll give him honor. We're going to be going back and forth on this balance. On the one hand, you should be tohu kibaro. On the other hand, that doesn't mean you should inhibit doing anything on the outside until your inside is entirely synchronized with that, because then, to the contrary, you end up being worse. On the other hand, now, you shouldn't be doing things just for show. So even though we said
that shelo lishma is okay. Ve'ein bo zeh psul shetofa einu kabaro. It's not invalid as because it's not fully consistent. Mikol makom vada yein lasos dvarim ach verak l'ramos acherim she'echashu shu tzadik. Again, I think it's a simple point. He's writing to spell things out clearly. Again, most likely this is written for Bachram. But certainly a person shouldn't do things only to fool others that they should think he's a tzaddik. L'mashal tov l'ma Torah filim hurak k'dei sh'yechavdu osa acherim. For example, it's good, actually, to learn Torah, even if his real motivation is that people will give him honor. That's not the goal, but that's okay as a process. But what's not okay is avaleshev b'fnei ha-sefer l'usna na'neya ki'ilu hu lomed zev ma'isa shal shakav ramos. Sit in front of a book and just, you know, sit there and he's not doing anything. And there's one thing to learn Torah for an ulterior motive. It's another thing to pretend you're learning Torah when you're not. And again, that's sort of a gross example, but one can take from that to other examples. Because of Aruchos Tzadikim, Aruchos Tzadikim writes in the Shar HaGaiva, a person who takes glory in chachma and actions that they're not, he doesn't have. He doesn't have those accomplishments. Ein mida ra'a kamosa ve'ein dugmosa. There's no bad mida like that, and there's nothing like it. Hello, amru chacham. Chazal said, "Mechavdim es ha'adam machma shesovim shu yodeya shtei mesechtas." They give a person honor as if because they think he is mastered two mesechtas. Ve'ein yodeya rak achas, and he knows only one. Yomalahen she'ini yodeya el achas. You say, "No, I only know one." Kol shekein ve'kol shekein shelo yates ha'olam she'achziku ve'chazaka gadolo she'ein abo. How much more so that he shouldn't fool the world that he's. They should think of him that he's something great when he isn't. For O Dogma.
Wait, so how does that play back then with that we should behave in a particular way because we want to grow into that?
Yeah, so he's saying if one is doing something and has ulterior motives, but you're doing it, people might give me honor also. Basically, everything we do has some measure of lishma and some measure of lo lishma. But what he's saying is, but to do something that's just totally false, that's what we shouldn't do. And he just quoted that chazal to bolster the point. But our sages emphasize, like, one's not supposed to be looking unnecessarily for a big yashakach, especially when it's not there. V'od dogma im rogel adam sheshoa b'tfilosa yosem echavero. This is a very particular example, but a person usually dives a long time. But Pamachas Nadam Lo Shakitze, one time he didn't have such a kavana, it came out short. Alo Lama Cham Kadeshi Yachashu Chaveru Shadayin Omi, but you shouldn't stand there. Not a long time, that's why, you know, just Ela Yigmat Filasa Laman Midas Emes. So whenever you finished, you finished. Sometimes it's a little more intense, sometimes less. That should be obvious. This next account I thought was a joke, but here it is. Here it is in our Musar Sefer. The story of the great Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, she yoshev esudim rabbanim acherim. He was sitting in a meal with other rabbanim. V'hamiltzar bo aleihem. So the waiter came to them. V'shol l'kol achim rabbanim ma'im rotzim lecha. What do you want to eat? Dug, oaf, or basar? Do you want fish, chicken, or meat? He said, one of them whispered to Rabbi Yaakov, which one should I choose? Hey Shiva, Rabbi Yaakov, Eza Mida Tamuchun Lachnia, Taiva O Gaiva. Which Mida do you want to work on to subjugate more? The way some people tell the story is it was a kashrus thing, that I don't trust the meat here, so I'm going to take the fish. So that's a matter of pride. I hold myself to a higher standard. So, but on the other hand, the meat tastes better. So which meat did you want to work on more? Taiva or Gaiva? I thought it was a joke, but every joke has some truth. The other way to take it, which might be the way he means, is more like just fish is less indulgent. I don't know. I was mentioned Rav Dov Katz, who I mentioned a second ago, has also a sefer called Pulmus on Musar, which is a fascinating read. And he has in there a letter from one of the opponents of the Musar school, a big rav. He actually wrote a letter and he actually made fun. He's trying to make fun that sometimes a person gets so caught up in Musar, you outsmart yourself. You're getting so nervous, you know, that you get so introspection that it becomes to an extreme. And like to illustrate the point, he writes a funny, it's quite a funny account. He says, a Baal Musar, again, this should not be
cast on the true Bali Musar. He's talking about Musar gone awry. But Bali Musar sits down, he's been fasting for 3 days, and he puts a big piece of cake in front of himself. He says, I'm not going to eat it. I'm not going to eat it. A few minutes go by, that's it, I'm not eating it. And he says, look at me, I'm so proud of the fact that I'm not eating it. I'm so proud that I have such self-control. I'm a Bal Gaiva. I'm full of gaiva. I have no control of my gaiva. Starts wolfing. It's like, that's type of gaiva, you know, like you can't, sometimes it's best just, you know, just go cool. Don't try to outsmart yourself. But anyway, yeah.
But they're really such, like if you put your head in that he's talking to Bakram, these are such excellent examples, because you could think also that the gaiva is like, you know, if Rabbi Yaakov is going to eat it, who am I to eat something, you know, that costs, you know, a dollar more? You know, it's like it could be in relation to what is his choice, you
right.
know, like,
right.
you know. And but on the other hand, how do you, you know, where is, let me see how he ties his shoes, you
right.
know, and how do I decide Velcro is better for me? Like, how
right.
do you, you know, balance that?
Right.
I don't know where they teach that part, but
right.
this is clearly, I think, a case of, let's see what he orders. You
yeah,
know?
Right.
And
no,
I'll do what he does. Like, how do you follow and at the same time develop, you know, what's it right for, you know, I can't eat fish, you know, but I can eat fish. I mean, I can
right.
see a kid saying, like, you know,
right.
how do you choose? But that seems like such a silly example, but I could just see it at a
no,
table.
It's a perfect
it's
example.
It's a great example. They want to be like him. They
right.
want to make the decision. And on the other hand, they're not, I don't mean this is, like, as critical as it sounds, it's like they're not really like, how else do you learn to be discerning and make decisions?
Right. No, I'll tell you something else. The reason why it's a perfect story for young people who are starting to grow in the service of Hashem is because very often the midos aren't really fully developed.
Right.
He's discovered, you know, I used to think, this makes me chashuv. Now this makes me chashuv. He doesn't realize that he's denying himself things just so he can show the other guy or put down the other guy. That's also, this is, you know, sometimes self-denial and the more basic desires plays out in greater need for kavod, and that's not much of an accomplishment. If the taiva was just exchanged for gaiva, we haven't achieved too much.
Right.
But in that sense, it's a perfect
yeah.
story. It's probably why he includes it. Again, that's not really where he's coming from here. He's talking about MS, but it's worthy in its own right. If a person is not mastering his midas, he's just taking one weakness and shifting it from here to there, he hasn't really accomplished anything.
And if one more point, like if part of the story is that everybody has to work on, everybody's given different things, so each person needs to work on whatever they're working on, that would sort of lead to not everybody picks the same choice.
Right, that's right.
But
yeah.
this is a hard...
No, I think your point about decision-making
yeah, like
is also...
How,
yeah.
Right.
Right, I think, yeah. Which one should I be working on? There's a famous line in the Shach in Yeridea that says, be careful with chumras, because most chumras are kula in some other area. And being strict here, in a different permutation, it comes out as a leniency. In moral things, it's like that also. Yeah, I'm denying myself this in front of the whole world so they can all see what an ascetic I am. It's not necessarily such an act of musar. But that's right, it's a decision. How essential is it for a person to admit to the truth in front of other people? And that he shouldn't need to show people that he already reached the nth degree in Shleimus. The famous stories about great Gedolei Yisrael and their readiness just for truth. Reb Chaim Brisker, when he had his prava, his tryout shir in Volozhin. Pretty important position. So he had a whole way of explaining a difficult Rambam. And in the middle of the shir, I don't remember if somebody pointed it out or he remembered it, but usually when we talk about Rambam, we're talking about the Rambam and his great work with Mishnah Torah. In the middle of the shir, he became aware that the way the Rambam explains something in Perish HaMishnayis, which is like a secondary work, would make it inconsistent. So in the middle, he just said, oh, no, never mind. It doesn't work with the Pirush Mishnah. So he didn't continue. Nobody would have known, you know, he could have gotten by it, but like he realized that the shir wasn't true, so he just wanted truth in Torah. He wasn't looking to show anybody. So, willingness to admit to the truth. There are many people who are always afraid.
Shiyiru acherim es chesrono seyim. That people will see their shortcomings, their failings. There's a nice story in Reb Zevin's Sipurei Chasidim, which is a great work. Reb Shlomo Yosef Zevin reported the classic Hasidic stories with the names and where they took place, and he put it on the order of the Chumash and the order of holidays. So, like a story that sort of connects to an idea in the Parsha, he puts it there. So, I think in Parsha's Mitzora, he tells a story about one of the great Rebbes who was fearing Tisha. I think that Shabbos, he had his Chasidim at the table Friday night, the Shabbos when you read about Tzaras and coming to the Kohen. And the Hasidim are talking, and they're saying a Dvar Torah, and an insight, and a word of Hasidus, and so on. And the Rebbe said, you know, you all come in front of the Rebbe, and you show your best side. He said, in the Parsha, what happens? You come to the Kohen, you show him your Mumim. You show him, look, I have a blemish. I have maybe a Tzaras. That's the way it's supposed to be. So stop putting on a show.
But in private, they fulfill their desires. A misha noekach, a person who conducts himself so, vada shetocho eno kabaro. Certainly, his inside. Huh? I skipped. Oh. It's not true. I never skip. You must not have been listening. I've never skipped. You know how much I've denied myself to be a perfect rabbi. Oh, okay. Fine, I get it. Yes, thanks for paying attention. V'lochein b'fnei, I skipped over the third line of the bottom paragraph. V'lochein b'fnei acherim osim atzmam kiprushim me'olam hazeh. Therefore, in front of other people, they make themselves a parush, is a person who's abstemious, who denies himself. Interestingly, in our history, the frum, followers of the Torah Sheval Peh, became known as the Prushim. That's a word used to this day, if you study Jewish history, the Pharisees, that word is from Prushim. That became the word for, because people who really keep the Torah had to, can't eat that, can't do this. But a parush to an extreme means where you deny yourself things that are permissible. So people who are kiprushim me'olam hazeh, those who are abstinent from olam hazeh, avol b'seisim me'olam tavos limi. Thank you for correcting. Actually, without that phrase, it sort of didn't flow right. So, but in private, they indulge to their heart's content. Umisha noekach, a person who conducts himself in such a way, vada shetocho eno kabara, so certainly his inside is not like his outside. Uvada shein kavanosenu lomar, certainly our intention is not to say she'adam yigala kol chesronosa v'tavosav la'acherim. So here's another point. Everything is a balance, like you said, a decision. What can I tell you? The Torah is about understanding both sides and figuring out where to draw the line. It's not this extreme or that extreme, right? The Rambam says it's always somewhere in the middle, and you have to figure out where that is. So now we've said, like, on the one hand, on the other hand, on the other hand. So this is another important qualifier. It's really important, and I think it's sometimes lost in our world, even in the frum world. He said, but we're not saying that a person should reveal all of his shortcomings and desires to others. Adarava, to the contrary, haritzarach l'spayish mehem, a person's supposed to have a sense of shame from them. Ukemo sha'amar Rav Kahana, as Rav Kahana says in the Gemara and Brachos, Chotzif alai man de mefarish chatoe. Chotzif alai means I view it as chutzpah. It's chutzpah to me. Somebody who goes in public and spells out his sins. Shenemer ashrei nesui pesha kesui chato. As that kapitel in Tehillim is about tshuva, and what Chazal derived from that pasuk is, if a person sinned to another person, he has to have it out in public. And if I did a sin in public, I have to request mechila in public. I made a chil Hashem, I'm supposed to get up and say, friends, what I said last week, such and such was wrong, and I want you to understand that, and I'm here coming, I'm ashamed, and I'm correcting myself. But if it's something that's a private sin of mine, there's no mitzvah to unnecessarily talk about in public. And, you know, we live in a world where whatever goes on in the outside world, to some degree, trickles into our world. We live in a world where people love going in public and talking about all kinds of things. When we realize that it's not about us, it's about our Kadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, if my moral behavior is just about how good of a person am I, so then maybe it's very humble for me to go and say, I'm really not that good. I'm really bad. Look at this. I'm really bad.
But if I realize that Avera is an affront to the creator of heaven and earth, then it's not so great for me to go say, I did this and I did that. It's not about me. I think the reason why in the Western world there's a lack of sensitivity to this is because even religion is viewed as like yoga. It's like to make me healthy. It's all about me.
Right. Well,
so if I'm not good at it, so, you know, I'm allowed to say, I haven't worked out in this amount, I haven't done this, I haven't taken care of my finances. So I'm allowed to say, I haven't done, you know, I've done Averas too, but we're not supposed to view it that way. It's supposed to be a bigger issue.
Right, not to get too far afield, but the whole Me Too movement makes it all about the individual person, as though that's the triumph. Everybody has to say, Me Too, it happened to me, it happened to me. And nobody is focusing on what is wrong with this society that hundreds of, you know, like, right. That it's pervasive. What is the collective? Yeah. Why is it wrong? Like, nobody's looking at what was going on or what's the big picture here. You know, they're all focusing on...
I don't want to be critical of victims. I mean,
I'm not blaming the victim, but I'm saying that the thrust of the movement, even in the allegations, it's so personal across the board that nobody seems to be stepping in back and saying, well, what is the sin going on here that suddenly everyone is either accusing someone else or saying, it happened, it's about me.
Right.
You know, that they, as though the moral responsibility is to speak up,
I think it's a little more nuanced. I understand the point you're making.
We live
in a world that is very me-focused.
It's completely, and a lack of either, like, you know, that it's about Hashem. Without truth or without a system of truth, how do you decide what is wrong? Like, one day everything was perfectly fine, or so some people thought, and the next day it's completely wrong because there's no objective belief in
anything. Yeah. So now he's giving us the other hand. On the one hand, we should be truthful. On the other hand, but that doesn't mean to divulge that which doesn't, that shouldn't be divulged. Av mikol makom ein adam yachol lios shakran leramos achem. But a person shouldn't be a shakran, a liar, to fool others. Kadesh yechashu shuv madrega shemes legila. There's a very big difference between I'm not supposed to put on a facade to make people think I'm great, greater than I am, and I'm great when I'm not. But on the other hand, it doesn't mean I have to go and tell people everything wrong that I've done. There's no mitzvah in that. Again, the halacha is very clear, where it's necessary to say it to people when it's supposed to. He calls a chil Hashem in public, he sinned to another person, he has to talk about it, but otherwise it's not really anybody's business. And again, he uses the term chotzef alai, it's a matter of brazenness. I shouldn't want to talk about that, it's an affront to Hashem. The truth is, shemisha noheg, a person who conducts himself with the trait of MS and not with chicanery, he merits that people will give him honor. He thinks, in order for people to respect me and give me honor, I have to put on a facade. You know what? If I don't put on a facade and I just be who I am and be honest about it and I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong and so on, ultimately they'll honor you more. Sharei ein davar choshuv ba'ene habriyos yoser meha emes. One of the most shocking things that happened to me as a yeshiva bacher was the mashgiach of the yeshiva, actually just saw him recently, asked forgiveness from me in public. And I totally wasn't expecting it. I think I was tired one day. I mean, I took a rest at dinner and I woke up late and he was giving a schmooze and I came in very late. And I was wrong. I shouldn't have been late. So when I came in, he stood up like... He's getting mostly like, oh, you arrived? You know, you just got to... You know what? It wasn't... I don't even think it was over the top. It didn't really... it was a good... He didn't make a big thing of it. But then the next week, he says to me, make sure you're at the schmooze this week, you especially. So I thought he was like saying, make sure you come. So instead of... He wasn't giving most of make sure you come. He said it... I want to announce it in front of the whole place. He said... last week when Avram came in, I did something that was too embarrassing. It wasn't right. I'm asking Mechila in front. It was in front of all the Bachram. That doesn't make you less respected. It makes you more respected. I'm not sure he really had to do it, but he felt it was too much. So a person who can admit to a mistake becomes more respected, not less. This is important also. What? I need Musa too? Oh, no. This is important for rabbis and educators. Sheyireyem ilis bazos b'eni talmideyem. That they're concerned about being, seen negatively in front of the students. Ubetach kavanasim l'shem shemayim. And certainly, their intent is l'shem shemayim. The truth is, there are places where halacha protects something, even if it's not fully true. We have halacha, or Sifton are learning Masechas Makos. So there's a halacha of Edom Zomamin, there are witnesses who falsely accuse somebody. So if he was condemned to punishment, but then we caught it, we punished the witnesses. But if he was condemned and the punishment was carried out, God forbid they put somebody to death based on false charges of these witnesses, you actually don't punish the witnesses. It's the ultimate irony. If they only tried, they get punished. If they succeeded, they don't. It's one of the enigmas of that halacha. One explanation given by Rishonim, ultimately the Torah says so, so that's what we do, but one explanation given by Rishonim is because it will cause a denigration of the Sanhedrin. If we caught it, we punish the witnesses, but if we didn't catch it, and then we're going to punish the witnesses, people will go around saying, the Beis Din killed somebody, and it was so wrong that they had to kill the witnesses who had him put to death, it'll cause people to doubt the system. That would be an example. A different explanation is that if that person was allowed to be put to death, it must be that's what Hashem wanted. That's why the Ramban and others say. But one explanation is, no, maybe it wasn't right, but we don't want to highlight the error. There's something called Zelusa de Beidina, that there shouldn't be a zilzal, a degradation of the Beis Din, not because they need accolades and they need it for their personal cover, but we want to maintain the dignity of the institution. So the halacha does have a place for that.
Yeah. Now, the answer to my question could be he's talking to the Bachrim. On the other hand, it says that this goes to Rebbeim and Machanchim. It doesn't say parents. That there's some issue that parents don't apologize. That's true, but he's not articulating. He's saying Rebbeim and Machanchim.
Yeah, I think he's writing
system.
To a particular audience.
That's
I think
why
it's
he's
beneficial
not
to,
saying,
yeah.
you know, because
yeah.
there is something about a parent shouldn't apologize for sort of almost that reason,
right.
too. You don't want to break the authority.
Yeah, that's another perfect balance.
Yeah.
To what degree is a parent willing to apologize, but also to maintain the authority?
But I thought parents' precedence to say, if they realize they did something wrong, they should not apologize to the parent. If you realize you misjudge something,
right.
the teacher.
Right, but you have to do it with seichel,
you know,
I want to apologize to you. I got angry more than I should have, but you have to realize what you did was wrong. In other words, my position is, you know, if the position is incorrect, you have to, you know, explain. But I think if the child sees that the parent operates with seichel and a willingness to be modal ha'emes, mm-hmm. but that generally the system is maintained with seichel, that will only cause more respect, not less. Yeah.
So with the Sanhedrin example, is that an example of when not telling the truth really is the truth?
Yeah, yeah. Again, we're only explaining it post-fact. Once the Torah says that, that's one way of looking at it. But the fact that you have Rishonim who explain it that way, I'm just using that to illustrate that sometimes you have to be careful. Even with David HaMelech and the Maase of Bathsheba, some explain it. Even afterward, he was covering up, but some of Farshim say at that point it was Lishma because he is the Melech. He may have done something wrong at his level, but if it would totally come out, even though in some level that's MS, but if you undermine the Malchus and there's a mutiny and a civil war, that's not good for anybody. So there's a fine line between what we're doing lishma and what's just personal. You know, I don't have the strength of character to admit to my shortcomings. So it's a balance. But he's saying, generally speaking, we benefit more from being willing to stand up to, you know, and accept the truth. So he said, sometimes a person wants to make himself alachin osim atvum kemalachim l'kayim divrei chazal. So the rebbeim or rabbis make themselves like they're angels to fulfill the teaching of Chazal, Gemara and Chagigim, and Doma Harav Malach Elokim Tzvakos Yivakish Torah Mipiu. Based on a pasuk, it says if the Rebbe is like a Malach, then you should learn from him. So the Rebbe wants to make sure that he appears to the Talmidim like a Malach. Avol Ha'emes Hu Lehepech, but it's the opposite. She Talmidim Yispol Yoser Bar Osim Sharav Davuk LeEmes. They'll be more impressed when they see that the Rebbe clings to the truth. Rav Kozeb Emes Doma LeMalach. That's the Rebbe is like a Malach. Furthermore, now he makes a side point that's more of an educational point, but it happens to be true also. The Rebbe makes himself like a malach. So first of all, relevant to what we're talking about, if you make yourself, like you said, we can apply this to parents as well.
If you make yourself perfect, they're going to respect less, not more. But in addition, it also is not good chinuch, because if talmidim, if students see that the leaders are these people who are perfect, they don't struggle with anything, they never make mistakes, they never have to deal with, oh, I misjudged that, so there's nothing to learn from, because they see in themselves, well, I do make mistakes, I'm just not from that, I'm not cut from that cloth, and I'm not never going to be anything. But if they see, oh, wow, the Rosh Hashiva also, he made an error and had to deal with it, he misjudged something, so there's more to learn from. So Sharei Choshim Shalahem Lo Shayach Madregazu. If they think the Rebbe is perfect, they have no relevance. Kevin Sheinam Roam Shirabosem Gamkin Bnei Adam. Since they don't see that the Rebbeim are also people, Hanel Chamim Mitzrayim, who have battles with their Yetzers. Va'od Sheima Filu Pam Achas Yaseh Arav Davar Shelo Kishur. And furthermore, taking the point just a drop further, another danger of maintaining, let's say, even if Talmidim or people who are naive and the leader is able to, thinks he's doing a great mitzvah by making himself on a plateau of perfection, if he ever does something not right, or if they ever see in anybody is supposed to be something not right, like the whole scene will fall away. Like, in other words, if they see that a person is not perfect, he's very great, but he's not perfect, then they can deal with realities. But if you create this false image of perfection, then they're not ready to deal with anything real, and then you can cause a bazillion, God forbid, to Torah and quote Shemayim. Next section. Masim ha-quote-unquote ketanim, that was English. Masim ha-ketanim marim gadlus ha-adam. The small thing, what we call small, shows the greatness of man. It's interesting. He's going to come at it from a particular angle. Years ago, we learned here from the writings of Rabbi Yochum Levavitz, and he speaks about this at great length, the famous Medrash about Moshe Rabbeinu. How did Moshe Rabbeinu become the shepherd of Klal Yisrael? Because you have that story there where a sheep ran away, and he ran after it, and then he didn't realize the sheep was just thirsty, so he saw the sheep was drinking. He said, oh, I didn't realize you were thirsty, and he carried it back. And from that little story of how he shepherded a sheep, Hashem says, you shepherded this sheep, Chayecha, you'll shepherd my children. And Chazai was connected to that. Chazal say about Mordechai, he took care of Esther, but he omen as Hadassah, he Esther. Hashem said, you took care of one Bas Yisrael, you'll take care of my whole nation. And what these Midrashim, and there are others like them, what they're talking about is that the greatness of a person is measured and is demonstrated in what we would consider small, not great things. So listen to how Rabbi Kestenbaum comes to this. It's a fascinating insight. He's quoting here from Rav Daniel Kalish, who's a Rosh Hashiva of Waterbury. He was a master machanech, a very famous master machanech, who's helped countless talmidim. So listen to this insight, and it's Ruyim Hadvarim Lamisha Amara. This fits the character who said them. Kosev, it says, Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim Lamialdos Ha'ivriyaz HaShashem HaChashif HaShem HaShem HaShem. The king of Egypt said to the, we'll translate it as the Jewish midwives. It's actually Machlokas how to translate that, but the Jewish midwives, that one was named Shifra and one was named Pua. For Amru Chazal, Shifra is Yocheved al Shem Mishaperes as a blood. Shifra is Yocheved, and she's called Shifra because Mishaperes as a blood. She would make the child look beautiful. She'd wash up and make the child look nice. Shaper, Shapir, and Gemara means something that's good, looks nice. Upua zu Miriam al Shem Shapoa Mudaberes Vahogal of Lod. Because she would talk and soothe, poo, like make a sound that made them feel comfortable. Hamafaisos tino kabocha, which would appease or put at ease a crying child. V'kasha lahavin davar zeh. It's hard to understand this. Sheshmosein nikvu kafi ech shez nagvem etinokos. But then, what is the name given to Yocheved and Miriam, to Shifra and Pua? It's a name based on what achievement in life? The way that they take care of a baby. You know, she says Pua, and she makes, you know, she washes the baby, and this is the grand appellative we're going to use for these people. Aloha yonashim tzidkanios unuvios. You talk about prophets, prophetesses, and tzidkanios. Ela shalimdanu chazal bazeh mao yisod gadlusam. It's not some coincidental thing that happened to get these nicknames for some side thing in their lives. This teaches us the foundation of their greatness. And what brought them to be Nevi'os, and you can see in the footnote, this is a quote from Rabbi Kalish. Navar, we'll explain.
Anashim choshvim, people think shegadlus ha'odom niris b'masim ha'gadolim. People think the greatness of man is seen in the grand actions. You read a story, this Gadol learned all of Shas in a week. And this one who saved many souls, which that's all great, don't get me wrong. So we think it's things like that that give a picture that describe godless. Aval masim haktanim, the things that people call small, kagon echadam esnagim b'nei beisa, the way a person conducts himself in the house, with his family, v'ketagim medaktik b'berchosav, the way he's careful with his brachos, ein amarim al gadlus adam, those are small things, small things. V'kol zehu ta'os gadol, this is a great mistake. Adarava, to the contrary. This hamasim hagadolim, kama pa'omim yosu kala asosim kevin shem mechabdim es adam b'eini atzma b'eini acher. Sometimes it's easier to do the grand thing. This is a big scene. This is something I have to rise up to. It isn't that much Yetzihara not to, but the small things in life where it's not going to make the news. It's not a big deal, so people don't view it as a big deal. To do what's good and straight in a way that's is private and true. Pam acher pam, time after time. Heim be'emes marim al gadlus ha'odam. That shows the greatness of man. Shebahem nira kamahu oved Hashem. That shows how much he serves Hashem. V'davrzelim dunu chachamenu zal b'shmosein shal shifru pua. This reminds me, there's a quote from Yisrael Salanter, Chazal say about Chanoch. In Sefer Bereishis read about Chanoch, v'yis halach Chanoch es alokim. So Chazal say he was a shoemaker. And with every stitch, when he would stitch the shoes, he caused the greatest tikkunim in the higher realms. So some people want to say deep explanations. He was, engaged in spiritual things and so on. Yisrael Salanter said, no, if you're a shoemaker and you make your shoes the best way, if you do whatever you're doing and just want to do it in the best way possible, right now this is what I'm doing in life. Sometimes it's a grand thing. It's ne'ilah and Yom Kippur. And sometimes I'm doing my job. I'm supposed to be a shoemaker, and I want that the product that I sell to the person was honestly made to the best of my ability. It makes the customer happy, makes him feel that his money was well spent. He said that also can make the biggest tikkunim. It can cause the highest and greatest things. If every little thing in life we just do to the best of our ability, that's godless. And that's shifru pua. Shehech she'ez nagum hatinokas, the way they conducted themselves with the babies, ba'avu v'rachmanus gedola, with great love, especially considering the circumstance of what was going on, Klal Yisrael so at risk. Hu os amiti al gadlusam, that's the true sign of their greatness. Gadlus ha'adam, the greatness of man, hainu shleimus ha'adam, which is the character completion of man, ukfimash hu sholem b'avodosu v'midosav. Per the degree that he's complete in his avod and his midos, kach nimdad gadlusa. That's greatness. Adam shenachshav l'gadol v'ainei avriyos mishum ha'torah shalom and mishum ha'maisim ha'gadolim shalom. Person who's considered a gadol in people's eyes because of the Torah he learned, or because of great actions he did, he's not too good at the little things. He's a gadol, he's just not good at the katan, and he's not gadol. Einenu gadol ba'emes. What will forever be a very memorable moment for me, when Zelig Epstein passed away, when my Rashiva was nifter, and Rav Kalman Epstein, his son, got up to speak at the Levaya. And I've been in many funerals of Gedolei Yisrael where people often invoke Elisha and Eliyahu and Avi Rechav Yisrael for Russia, which is commonly cited at the funerals of great Rashi Yeshiva, and talk about the Torah he wrote and worked on. And first of all, I thought he would speak in Yiddish, and I thought he would speak in a grand way. The Levaya started, he said, my father told me many times that from all the Torah that I learned, it's hard to know what I'll have. He said, but to the degree that you mach yenem's pek a leichter, to the degree that you make someone else's burden a little lighter, that you'll have. That's how he started, and that's what he spoke about. He spoke about it, Zalig Epstein made people feel good, and even told the story that there was a person who was not well, mentally or emotionally, who used when they had a bungalow colony, and this person used to like to sit on their step. And one time the Rebbetzin asked, like, why do you like to sit? He said, when I see the rabbi, I feel good. Mm-hmm. So he sat on their step, and that was it. And that was the story he told of the Levi. He didn't speak that much about the things he wrote. And of course he was a great Talmud Chacham, but no. He said, make somebody feel good. That was the daily interactions, that kind of a thing. And he writes in the next paragraph, I'll just maybe finish with this. V'nishmo maisim al gedoli Yisrael eich shehayu ragishim afil l'rikshas shal yiladim ketanim. And you hear stories about Gedolei Yisrael, true stories about true Gedolei Yisrael, how they were sensitive to these feelings, even as small children. Now, but here, this is a very powerful point. B'nechshav l'chiddush, and people think, wow, that's a chiddush. Wow, he was running Klal Yisrael, he was so busy and important. And it's such a chiddush to me, it's such a novel thing that this Gadol was even concerned with the little feelings of this kid. Sha'af shahaya Gadol hadar mefursim b'Yisrael. Even though he was Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and people were coming to him with the most serious shilas, and etc., etc., mikol mokam hayamesim leiv liyaled katan. Nevertheless, wow, it's so nice that he had the ability, nevertheless, to pay attention to a child. So says Rabbi Kestenbaum so powerfully, you missed the boat. If you think that's a nevertheless, you don't understand the Gedolim at all. Aval ha'emesu she'enu chiddush b'chal. It's not a chiddush at all. V'adarabah. To the contrary, mi hayachoshed l'gedol Yisrael, shemido seim uramim l'malam yishar b'nei adam, shelo yu marachim al kol adam, bein gadol bein katan. Stories about the Chazon Ish, dealing with everything in Klal Yisrael, but people would come and tell a story, he'd be crying hours later. That's not a chiddush, that's who they were, and that's what makes somebody great. So we don't have to be looking for grand moments, for ticker tape parades and so on in our spiritual lives. We should be just, it's the daily, it's the implementation and development of midos in situations that abound every moment of the day. That's what makes people truly great. Sometimes we talk about how a Kaddish Baruch Hu's map doesn't look like the world's map. Those people who are important in the world or famous are not necessarily big in Hashem's world, and they can be small things that nobody ever hears of that make you great. And it's very big in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be madrachas in the Derech HaMS. Thank you.